And welcome everybody to another episode of Keeping It True by You Pelicans. It is a very suspenseful time to be a Pelicans fan. Of course, we're missing out on the fun of NBA playoff basketball, but let me tell you, there's so much to be looking forward to here with this year's draft lottery, as it's going to give you a key insight into how not only the first year under Joe Dumars is sort of shaping out for your Pelicans, it also is going to show you what the potential strategy should be going into the next few years where things get even more interesting. But of course, we have not had any sort of break in Pelicans news. There's been plenty that's happened since the Joe Dumars takeover about 2 weeks ago now, since the full press conference and everything, so forth and so on. We'll give you some of those major talking points, that way you can be up to date on the latest that is going on with the Pelicans and all the critical talking points that you need to know. First of all, my name is Donald. I host this and every episode here on Keeping It True by You Pelicans. Thankful that you stopped by today, and let's go and get into things. First and foremost, Joe Dumars has gotten to work relatively quickly as Pelicans executive vice president. This is something that, you know, you wanted to see. And of course, there's a lot of positions that people thought we would have seen by now. Would there be a head coaching change was a great discussion point going into the hiring. And now that it's pretty clear that for all intents and purposes, it's going to be Willie Green for at least one more year, that is a point that I think you can definitely start to put to rest. One thing I think that will be critical, though, to watch is the support staff around Willie Green is changing rapidly. And some of the major points that you may have already seen is that, of course, a longtime member of the front office, Swin Cash, has now left the organization, as well as somebody who was very well known, has been working in the background within the office structure for the Pelicans, Mike D'Antoni, is also now out after multiple years here in New Orleans. So those two key figures of the David Griffin years are now gone. Who is left? One of those people that are relatively not that well known, but critical to the way how the Pelicans have been run the past few years, is Bryson Graham. He's someone who came up as an intern over a decade ago and is now your full-on GM. And what he sort of was able to do to make his claim is that he got you some of your best draft picks over this past decade: Trey Murphy, Jose Alvarado, Herb Jones. All of those people were sort of his sort of findings through analytics, things of that nature. And he has been retained so far in full by Joe Dumars, which is showing you the confidence that he has to keep that type of an analytical mind on staff. Now, a point that many Pelicans fans have had to sort of wrap their heads around, come to terms with, is that Troy Weaver was brought in to be the role that Swin Cash was playing. And before that, to a degree, Trajan Langdon. And this is where things get a little strange, because if you look at Troy Weaver's background, it's not exactly sunshine and rainbows. Definitely has had a bit of a struggle, particularly his time in Detroit, which is funny enough, some of Joe Dumars' best and worst times were also in Detroit. But in the years that he was the general manager of the Pistons, 54, let's count those two extra wins, 54-192 in three seasons, which is not great. And who, of course, replaced him in Detroit? Trajan Langdon. So you see the Griff proteges go to fill in the job for a guy that got fired but is now back in New Orleans with Joe Dumars. It's a big circle of life in the NBA, and people are always moving and going. That is going to be something that you're going to have to hope that Joe Dumars is good as far as a rapport with this guy. Of course, executive vice president during that time of the league, so definitely was in contact pretty regularly. You know, maybe they worked up a rapport and this is going to be just a natural working fit. That's the only thing you can really make out of this at this point with that most recent tenure as a executive. So, you know, no awards that came out of that. But like I said, you're retaining Bryson Graham. He seems seems like he could fix some of Joe Dumars' weaknesses in drafting, which is going to be a major part of these next few years as a franchise. But before we get too far into that, of course, it is now time for me to appease the algorithm and ask you, of course, to like, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, thank you so much. Appreciate you watching here. And if you're anywhere else, don't forget the follow button works just as well. All the way around, hit the notification, whatever you have, wherever you have it. And on the podcast land, don't forget to subscribe. Get every episode straight to your downloads. It's going to be great for you, keeping you up to date with all the latest Pelicans news here on Keeping It True by You Pelicans. So I've appeased the algorithm. Now we get to get into the fun part of the episode, which is talking about what to expect on Monday, as well as what you will see in the coming years, and maybe a little bit of draft strategy, if you will. So let's start off with the fact that the Pelicans, of course, finish fourth worst overall in the league. So that gives them a 12.5% shot at the first pick. Now, of course, the last time many of you may have been watching this with any intent could have been during the Zion Williamson draft lottery, where, of course, you were able to move up to get the first pick. And this is what you're going to essentially have to do once again. So they do not have the top three best odds, which are sitting at 13. One thing that was critical to note is that in 2019, 2020 is whenever the NBA restructured how they do the draft lottery. So now the Pelicans will pick no lower than eighth. They are slated at fourth. They can go up to first, but no lower than eighth. Hope that makes everything clear there. But even though there's those odds posted, and you know it's a very tightly monitored and very legit process, you of course bring in the accounting firms to do the lottery aspect of it and to draft the actual ping pong balls, if you will. One thing that, of course, I keep an eye out for, and I oftentimes provide it to you all as a speciality, if you will, of the True Bayou Sports Media family and network, is that we also look at the real odds makers, which are, of course, the folks out in the desert in Vegas. So not much tells you that the Pelicans could be in a better position to get a first overall selection. It still looks as though, just based on the math, you have to assume they won't. What you will see, though, is that this weekend, the odds for the Pelicans to draft Cooper Flagg, which, of course, is expected to be your first overall pick, was at plus 700. Those odds have since now moved down a touch to plus 650. That could, of course, come from money coming in, some of the many different aspects that ends up with the bookmaking side of things. And you'll see that number move again before Monday. I guarantee you that. But if any of you want to go ahead and preemptively, you know, make that selection, of course, if you're within jurisdiction and of age, blah, 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 legalities, you hear it at the end of the episode. And I'm telling you now, hey, maybe lock in that plus 650. It's not a bad number. And, you know, it would be pretty fun to be able to hit that on draft night. But you heard me mention earlier, why should the Pelicans not be so worried if they end up in fourth? Why is that something that they maybe are even excited about? It's because the Pelicans hold two draft picks next year. They have both their first round selection and they hold the first round selection of the Pacers. And that is guaranteed in the 5 to 30 range. So the Pelicans would get the pick if it lands between 5 and 30. Of course, with what we saw Tyrese Halliburton do recently, I don't think it's going to be much of a problem next year for them to stay within that range. If the Pacers somehow end up in the same position as the Pelicans or worse next year, then you do have the right to potentially pick that pick back up in 2027. But what you also have, thanks to the Jrue Holiday trade, those are now continuing to pay off many years later, a whole new administration later, is you have a pick swap with Milwaukee, and you have the right to take that better selection from Milwaukee, which is now more interesting than ever, particularly when you see how much the Bucks and a potential Giannis trade and anything that goes on with that is now linked to the Pelicans. that could be shaping to see who's going to have the better selection in 27. Will it be Milwaukee? Will it be New Orleans? It's a little early to tell, but this is where you have to start making critical moves if you're Joe Dumars. There is no need to wait and let this sort of just fester or sit around. It has to be an active selection. If you say drop in 2025 and you're down to six, that might be a time where you start stacking more draft capital and you say, okay, I know what I have in the war chest next year. Maybe we need to trade down and get someone else back in the first round so that way we can put another pick together or package to push that 26 pick up, because right now you have pretty much the entire roster under contract. DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, of course, Trey Murphy III. Everybody who is going to be a critical contributor for your team is under contract. And not only that, they are quite tradable. So do you wish to gain more capital through their trades, or do you wish to do it through the draft pick that you have? I don't know if you get too far past 4 or 5, you really want to be sitting with that pick, because the likelihood of you getting anything more than, say, a in-and-out starter is significantly dropped the further down you go. And historically, if you do look at who has been selected in that fourth selection, it is not great. I have to be quite honest with you all. You, of course, have some exceptions, don't get me wrong, and I think the Pelicans would do their best to draft the best with that pick, but it's just not guaranteed. So a lot to think about if you're Joe Dumars. Of course, all these questions get answered on Monday, and we'll be back again to talk about them once they do get answered, so we can know together, hey, is this going to be a reason to get excited to go line up outside in the middle of the summer and get terribly hot and sweaty to watch a number one draft choice get made like we did with Zion Williamson? Or is this something where the Pelicans fall and they end up picking 7th or 8th, and then we're all contemplating, are they trading the pick? Are they keeping the pick? It's going to be fun to talk about regardless, and I hope that you all enjoy what I've said with you today. You got a little bit out of it, and you can share it with someone else you know. Make sure that they're getting this good Pelicans information as we get closer to the draft. Now, of course, thank you all for watching. Do not forget, on your way out, hit that subscribe button. It will pop up for you here. If you're on YouTube, anywhere else, do hit the follow button. Thank you once again, and don't forget, we'll see you again in the next one. Appreciate you all. Have a great day.
This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.